Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In the first verse of this beloved 23rd Psalm, David gathers together in one sentence the theme of the entire psalm. Since the Lord is his shepherd, he lacks nothing. He has all that he needs. He shall not be in want. In the five verses that follow, David says nothing different than this and nothing in addition to this either. What follows the first verse of this psalm is nothing more and nothing less than a rich development of this single theme, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. David proclaims the deep assurance and comfort that he has as a follower of the Lord in picture language and in imagery. He wants us to picture the Lord God who made the heavens and the earth and everything therein as a shepherd. He wants us to picture the one who follows this Lord God as a sheep with all of the behavioral characteristics that real sheep have. And so as we make our way through this psalm over these Wednesday evenings and come to these figurative words, we're always going to want to get at the meaning of the picture. Today we consider the meaning of he makes me lie down in green pastures, he leads me beside still waters. First, he makes me lie down. David knows shepherding because he is a shepherd. And so David knows that sheep are not like dogs. Dogs can be trained to sit or to lie down on command. I don't know, does Vixen? Yeah, if there's food involved. Now, this is not so with sheep. Sheep will only lie down when they have had plenty to eat and to drink and are not threatened by predators. It's said that the barking of even a stray dog or a howl of a coyote a mile away is enough to cause a flock of sheep to jump up and run off if not stopped by an alert shepherd. And so when we hear David say, he makes me lie down, we dare not think that this happens by force or by special training as with a dog. It happens for sheep only when the sheep are well fed and secure. Only then will they relax and settle down and allow the food to digest and rest. So nothing can be better for the sheep than to be a sheep in the flock of a shepherd that leads them to a place with plenty of food and water that's safe and secure. And that is what David is telling us that those who are of the Lord's flock enjoy: fullness and satisfaction and security that set them free to lie down, to relax, to settle down. Where this happens, the follower feels as though life is good and I lack nothing. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. It might be hard for us to grasp what David is saying here because we're not used to the climates and the seasons and the growing patterns in the Middle East, where it typically rains during the months of November through February, but then is dry for 8 months in a row. Green pastures are readily accessible for only 3 months of the year. And so it's up to the shepherd to find patches of green grass for his sheep to feed on and then lead them to them. As the season goes on, it becomes harder and harder because there's more and more desert in between. This is where our reading from Ezekiel finds its connection, in that the shepherds need to lead their flocks to higher and higher ground where the air is more moist and cooler. But the Lord, however, knows where these green pastures are, and he leads his followers to them. For David and for all the followers of the Lord throughout history, those green pastures that believers feed on is God's word and his sacraments. And when the believer is in the gathering of other believers, that is, in the flock, all being fed with God's word and sacrament together, then life is good. I shall not want. Another psalmist put it this way: a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. And I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. In so many ways, the world that we live in is like a desert. It's filled with all kinds of things, luxuries, activities, in which we foolish sheep try to find our satisfaction and our contentment, our security, our rest, our success. Sometimes we can be just like the prodigal son who tried to satisfy his hunger on the pods that even the pigs would eat in order to find satisfaction. But when we are in the company of believers, gathered around God's word and sacraments, it's real satisfaction and it's genuine rest for our souls. Comparing the fulfillment and the contentment that he receives from God's word to the emptiness and the restlessness that he receives from this world, Paul writes, "Indeed, I count everything as loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain to the resurrection of the dead." This is the deep satisfaction that is ours when we eat the food our Lord gives to us. Even in the wilderness, Jesus commands his flock of 5,000, as we heard St. Mark skillfully put it, to sit down on the green grass. And they all ate and were satisfied. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Third, he leads me. Food and eating is not all that sheep need. Sheep also need water to drink. And so the Good Shepherd also leads me beside still waters. He leads me. He doesn't drive me or push me. Middle Eastern shepherds will move their flock along either by going in front of them or by following behind them. Those shepherds that follow behind their sheep use sticks to prod the sheep along and to keep them from wandering off. Those shepherds that go in front of their flock, however, lead them by speaking to them with a distinct call that the sheep quickly learn to distinguish as the voice of their shepherd. The story is told about a time in the 1930s, just after some rioting in Palestine, when all of the sheep and the cattle were confiscated by the government. The citizens were permitted to redeem their livestock for a price. One of the military officers in charge wrote a report that included the account of a young shepherd boy who was an orphan, who had a small flock of only 8 sheep on which he depended for his survival. After somehow scraping up the funds to redeem his sheep and paying the ransom due, the officer told the young boy to take any sheep, 8 sheep that he wanted from the flock, because it would be impossible for him to identify his own sheep. Giving the call that was unique to him, 8 sheep quickly separated themselves from the thousands and followed the boy. This is the imagery that our Lord used in his speech to the Pharisees. He who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. The reason that so many followers of our Lord go astray, follow false gods, and run after empty promises, I think, is that they cannot properly identify the voice of their good shepherd because they have not heard it enough. The strangers are the false shepherds that we heard about in our first reading from Ezekiel, who are only in it for their own profit and gain. But what good news we heard, that the Lord God does not abandon or forget his sheep who have gone astray, followed after strange voices, but rather he goes after them. I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. I will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make the sheep lie down, declares the Lord. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. Part 4, He leads me beside still waters. One of the quirky things about sheep is that they will not drink from moving water. A shepherd from southeast Turkey, who later became a Christian pastor, once wrote that when a flock of sheep comes within sight or sound of water, they'll all begin to run right for it, which just proves that they're thirsty. But when they arrive at the source, if it's moving, even rippling, they'll all come to a complete stop and refuse to drink. They'll wander up and down the stream until they find a still pool, and from that they'll drink. Again, it's all about the nervous nature of sheep. They're frightened so easily and therefore find it hard to feel safe and secure and be at rest. Interestingly here, the Hebrew words that are translated as beside still waters literally read beside waters of rest. Again, the psalmist wants us to hear how good it is to be a sheep in the flock of the good shepherd who knows where the water of rest is, and that he leads his sheep to drink of it until their thirst is quenched. As we can imagine, the places where green pastures and still waters are both found together are very rare. But our Lord knows where these places are, and he leads his people right to them. And when his people who know his voice follow him and hear him say, "Take and eat, take and drink," we know that we shall lack for nothing, for we have all that we need. How good it is then to be a sheep in the flock of our Lord. For the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Amen. We stand for prayer.